Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time a busy day to begin with some inspiration to talk a bit about current events and words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 5th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 87. Thank you for joining me. I want to remind everyone that the more people that you reach out to, the more people will have the opportunity to hear our message about the benefits of homeopathy. The first inspirational quote comes from Twitter. Billy Cox writes, "We never know the love of our parents for us till we have become parents." And that is a quote by Henry Ward Beecher, who lived from 1813 to 1887 and was a prominent Congregationalist clergyman, an outspoken social reformer, an abolitionist and orator. The second quote for today comes from Facebook. Iman Nawab, an HWC member who hails from Canada, quotes Nisargadatta Maharaj, who says, "Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. And between the two, my life flows." Maharaj lived from 1897 through 1981 and was an Indian spirit teacher and philosopher. And his philosophy was about non-dualism. In 1973, he published a famous book called I Am That. The third inspiration also comes from Iman Nawab, who says, "The tendency of the human mind to run after things visible that can be felt with fingers leads one to adopt foolish theories like the bacteria doctrine and the molecular theory." This is a quote by Dr. James Tyler Kent, MD, and homeopath, who lived from 1849 to 1916, and who did numerous remedy provings. He pioneered high-potency preparations and published his repertory that is in much use today, published in 1897. In addition to the repertory, Kent is known for his books, Lectures on Materia Medica, and Homeopathic Philosophy. Kent also believed that illness had spiritual causes. Quote, "You cannot divorce medicine and theology. Man exists all the way down from his innermost spiritual to his outermost natural." That was quoted from 1926. In world news today, there is an article on today's New York Times. The headline reads, "HIV prevention jail hits a snag, money." This kind of highlights the difference in homeopathy and the cost of regular health care. What is the ratio of the cost to how we provide this health care, and what is the thinking of the industrial mechanized system of medicine versus the homeopathic approach to healing and the concern for lifestyle as prevention. I ask homeopaths around the world, how much money would be required to investigate healing remedies for symptoms such as AIDS? What would it take to provide these remedies to people who are in need? And I will go ahead and read from that article, HIV Prevention Jail Hits a Snag, and that is money. It comes from Johannesburg. Quote, when scientists celebrated the announcement in July of 2010 that a vaginal microbicide had finally been found that significantly reduced HIV infections in women, there was still a prosaic, though essential, piece of the puzzle missing, money. Donors had enough money for even one of the two studies needed to confirm a promising South African trial of the microbicide and get it into women's hands. Only about $58 million of the $100 million needed for follow-up research has been pledged, according to UNAIDS, the United Nations AIDS Agency. Shifting global health priorities and tight funds in the West are making it hard to raise the rest. Advocates say any delay could be deadly. Most of the 22 million people infected with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa are women, and about a million women on the continent are infected each year. If subsequent studies find the gel effective, women could use it to protect themselves even when men refuse to use condoms. And that is the beginning of that article. It gives you some pause to think about the numbers of people who are infected and what can be done to help them. I know that there are numerous groups of homeopaths working in Africa today to help those who are infected with AIDS. In that light, Dr. Prabhat Kumar Dasgupta, a member of HWC, has written a post on the blogs called Reproving of Homeopathic Medicines. And he is discussing, he's asking us about reproving the old remedies and finding out new information from these reprovings. He tells the Central Council for Research in Homeopathy, the Department of Ayush, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare in the government of India, is the sole authority for all the things related to homeopathic research in India. They are now also involved with provings of medicines related to these particular diseases, child growth, malaria, dengue fever, tonsillitis, general injuries, diabetes, diabetes mellitus, Japanese encephalitis, and vomiting during pregnancy, constipation in children, fear and worry during pregnancy, asthma in children, cold and cough in children, stress and behavior-related problems in children. Because this ministry is particularly interested in assisting the developed children. Also, Homeopathic Drug Research Institute, now India, is also part of the CCRH and is working with provings of several. The Wilmer Schwab and some other medicine manufacturing organizations, he tells us, is also interested in provings, as well as the number of new provings by Dr. Sankaran, Sanjay Segal, and Dr. Chimpanwala. And also, I know Dr. Master has been doing provings on snakes. We're ready to go ahead and move into our review or reading of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine, Aphorism by Aphorism, a review of the preceding aphorisms to number 65, which is our reading for today. On number 61, a general overall reading is homeopathy is the best mode of medicine. and all those who practice it can attest to that. Aphorism number 62 is an explanation for the efficacy of homeopathy, and aphorism 63 talks about the primary action and secondary counteraction of drugs and the vital force. Aphorism 64 through 65 is what we did the last reading, and that was an explanation to the primary action and secondary counteraction with examples to the primary action and secondary counteraction. So as a little quick review on aphorism number 65, I'll do a short reading. Examples of A are familiar to all. A hand bathed in hot water is at first much warmer than the other hand that has not been so treated, which was reaction. But when it is withdrawn from the hot water and again thoroughly dried, it becomes in a short and cold, and at length much colder than the secondary action. A person heated by violent exercise, which is the primary action, is afterwards affected with chilliness and shivering, the secondary action. To one who was yesterday heated by drinking much wine, the primary action, today every breath of air feels too cold, the counteraction of the organism or the secondary action. An arm that has been kept raw in cold water is at first much paler and colder, the primary action, than the other. But removed from the cold water and dried, it subsequently becomes not only warmer than the other, but hot, red, and inflamed, the secondary action, the reaction of the vital force. So each of these, he's giving us examples of temperate changes in the body from an action that we use to change and alter the body, which is a medicine. That goes back to the definition, medicine is a substance with the ability to alter human health. So here we see the primary action of the medicine does one thing, and then as the secondary action, it does a counteraction. So instead of feeling hot, we feel cold, or instead of feeling cold, we feel warm. And then we're going to move on to aphorism number 66. Before I do that, I could mention that there is on the network a discussion about fevers, about using thermotherapy for changing and healing the body and having some actions. So that's a good discussion to take a look at. Aphorism number 66 reads, an obvious antagonistic secondary action, however, is, as may readily be conceived, not to be noticed from the action of quite minute homeopathic doses of changing agents on the healthy body. A small dose of every one of them certainly produces a primary action that is perceptible to a sufficiently attentive observer. But the living organism employs against it only so much reaction, that is the secondary action, as is necessary for the restoration of the normal condition. And footnotes to aphorism number 66. And he's saying that it is obvious, it is an antagonistic, that is the counteraction, the secondary action that occurs after the primary action of the medicine on the living organism, and that the action may readily be conceived, not to be noticed from the action of quite minute homeopathic doses of the deranging agents. So, and he seems to say that there is a primary action that is observed. However, the secondary action may be not so perceivable only to the attentive observer, which would be the homeopath, or to the individual who is feeling these symptoms, either leaving the body or being aggravated by the body. So, however, the secondary action may not be so much perceived as it restores the living organism back to normal state. I take this as meaning that when you're not feeling well, those symptoms of disorder are very obvious to you. You're noticing your congestion, the sharp stinging pains, the or whatever it is that you might be feeling. And then when you have the primary action, this all feels. And it is when the body returns back into the state of normalcy, into the state of health, you're no longer feeling these symptoms. And so you're free of pain, you're free of congestion in your lungs, you're free of muscles cramping, because that secondary counteraction has put you back into being free from those problems, it be a place of being stuck or hopelessness or whatever it is, you're back to being normal. Reading on to aphorism number 67, yes, Hahnemann writes, these controvertible truths, which spontaneously offer themselves our notice in nature and experience, explain to us the beneficial action that takes place under homeopathic treatment, whilst on the other hand, they demonstrate the perversity of the antipathic and palliative treatment of diseases with antagonistically acting medicines. Aphorism number 67 has a footnote which reads, only in the most urgent cases where danger to life and imminent death allow time for the action of a homeopathic remedy, not hours, sometimes not even quarter hours, that'd be 45 minutes, and scarcely minutes, in sudden accidents occurring to previously healthy individuals, for example, in asphyxia and suspended animation lightning, from suffocation, freezing, drowning, etc., is it admissible and judicious at all events as a primary measure to stimulate the irritability and sensibility the physical life with a palliative, as for instance, a gentle electric shock with cloisters of strong coffee with a stimulating odor, gradual addition of heat. When this stimulation is a the play of the vital organs again goes on in its former healthy manner, for there is here no disease to be removed, only an obstruction and suppression of the healthy vital force. To this category belongs the antidotes to sudden poisonings, alkalis for mineral acids, heparin, sulfurous for metallic poisons, cough and camphor and ipecac for poisoning by opium. It does not follow that a homeopathic medicine has been ill-selected for a case of disease because some of the medicinal symptoms are only antipathic to some of the important and minor symptoms of the disease. If only the others, the stronger, well-marked characteristic, peculiar symptoms of the disease are covered and matched by the same medicine with similarity of symptoms, that is to say, overpowered, destroyed, and extinguished, The few opposite symptoms also disappear of themselves after the expiry of the term of action of the medicament without retarding the cure in the least. And a note, and yet the new sect that mixes the two symptoms appeals, though in vain, to this observation, in order that they may have an excuse for encountering everywhere such exceptions to the general rule in diseases, to justify their convenient employment of allopathic palliatives and of other injurious allopathic trash besides, for the sake of sparing themselves the trouble of seeking for the suitable homeopathic remedy for each case of disease, and thus convenient as homeopathic physicians without being such, but their performances are on a par with the things they pursue. They are corrupting. So in the end of aphorism number 67, Hobbes is telling us that what he provided here in terms of using palliatives and allopathic remedies and crude doses of drugs is to be used as an exception to the rule, not as part of the day-to-day workings of homeopathy, that when falls off a mountain, do whatever needs to be done to stabilize the individual with the car accident. Whatever it is that has happened that has been highly traumatic and needs restoration minutes time, stabilize the individual, do CPR, Burnett, give them some morphine so that the excruciating pain with the broken limbs can get them their heart rate back to normal, whatever it is, or slow their body down so that they can get back into their vice. Because sometimes when you've been in an accident, it seems as if spirit has left, and you need to get that person back to wholeness. So on these occasions, you do to use the exception to the rule, which Hahnemann is providing in aphorism number 67. And what he is also cautioning and claiming here is that we do not typically blend these systems together simultaneously for every single individual, for every acute, for every chronic condition. Only in these vital emergencies where time is of the essence. So people who are claiming to be able to use numerous palliatives and giving of both drugs and homeopathics at the same time, he is saying that this is not practice. Now, I question today the fact that many people are on lots of allopathic drugs, and there is a question today in the homeopathic how to deal with this. I typically would say I do not with the allopathic drugs. I tell the person to go to their physician and monitor and get off of the drugs if that's the direction of cure. Other people will not even take a patient if they are taking allopathics, and other people will. So here he's giving us instructions not to mix the two systems except in this one case that is the exception to every rule, which we know does occur in nature. So he is also giving us examples in this aphorism for when you can relate, when things are the exception to the rule. For instance, if someone has been hit by lightning, or if someone is someone has had a very strong overdose of drugs, and then in the movie, I don't remember the name of it, The Odd Couple it was, when one of them was taking an overdose of drugs, they stimulated the person to stay awake by giving them many cups of coffee, which obviously Hahnemann was aware of. He considered coffee to be a drug. And also the stimulating odor, he said, so like ammonium. So if somebody has fainted away for some reason, then you could stimulate them with that specific odor to wake them up. And then he's also giving us the gradual application of heat and relates back to the thermotherapy that was mentioned earlier. Well, this completes the readings of Aphorism 66 and 67 for today. There's a minute left, and I'll go ahead and move on to Aphorism 68. In homeopathic cures, experience teaches us that from the uncommonly small doses of medicine, and he refers to aphorisms 275 through 287, required in this method of treatment, which are just sufficient by the similarity of their symptoms to overpower and remove from the sensation of the labile the similar nature disease, there certainly remains, after the destruction of the latter, first a certain amount of medicinal disease alone in the organism. But, on account of the extraordinary mass of the dose, it is so transient, so slight, and disappears so rapidly of its own accord that the force has no need to employ against this small artificial derangement of its health any more control reaction than will suffice to elevate its present state of health up to the healthy point. That is, then will suffice to effect complete recovery, for which after the extinction of the previous morbid derangement, but little effort required. And here, Hahnemann is teaching us that give a homeopathic dose, the minimum dose, the smallest required dose to return a person back health, even though it is in putting on an artificial disease or morbid derangement officially, it is so minute, it is only lasting the length of time for the pendulum to swing back to normal, to the center, for the person to be back to health, and then the effect is no more. And this is the end of today's show. I hope it was helpful, and everyone, please take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Until next time, this is Debbie Brock signing off. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brooke on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.